Just a couple of things before I begin my homily. So personally, I have some sad news. On Monday, December 26th, my father passed away peacefully after a short illness. His funeral was this past Friday in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in the upstate, where he and my mother and two of my siblings have been living. His name is George Arthur Wilson, Sr., and he was truly a wonderful father. He'll be very much missed. So I ask you to please pray for him, and especially my mother, Karen. She and he were married 60 years, so 60 years of wonderful, holy matrimony. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank all of you who had already heard and have been so kind and for your incredible kindness. I was reminded that we are a family, parish family, and truly you have shown that. We pray for his eternal rest. Secondly, next Sunday, we have a special guest at this Mass. Our bishop will be here for his very first visit to Aiken. So Bishop Jacques Fabre, I hope you will come and welcome him with great joy. He will also celebrate the 1 p.m. Mass in Spanish. And then in the afternoon, we will have a reception at St. Angela Hall for him at 2:30. So I encourage you to please come to that as well and to give Bishop Fabre a very warm St. Mary's welcome. And thirdly, you have no doubt also heard of the death of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. He certainly led a full, long life, and he was a good pope. So let us not fall into the trap of secular news sources picking apart and calling him a failure, which is one word that I've heard over the last 24 hours. The world will always continue to be surprised that, yes, indeed, the Pope is Catholic. They have continued to be disappointed that Francis, they thought, was going to change all of our truths, but no, they're disappointed him too. Our faith doesn't do that. In the eyes of the world, every pope has and will fail because popes do not bend to every whim and wind of change. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, who Scripture says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our faith continues. It is you and I who must change, not the faith. And to repeat from a few weeks ago what I said, it is not that we change the gospel to fit our lives, but that we change our lives to conform with the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray that God may give Pope Benedict eternal rest. As is traditional, we will offer a Mass this Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for the repose of Pope Benedict's soul, and it'll be in Old St. Mary's. And you're all, of course, welcome and encouraged to come as we say goodbye to one of our popes, number 265, by the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. And so, on the eighth day of Christmas, on this octave day, we come to this feast of Mary, the Mother of God, her title, the Mother of God. By calling her this, we are not turning our attention away from Jesus, far from it. Mary's title, Mother of God, is all about Jesus, is completely pointing to him. She is pointing straight to her Son, telling us to look at him, contemplate him, the God-man. The gospel says that Mary kept all of these things, reflecting on them in her heart. The word used for reflect here actually means to piece together like a puzzle. In her heart, in the quiet, she is putting together all of these things that are coming, and she continues to do this throughout her life. Mary was taking these events in quietly, in the silence of her heart, piecing them together to know what it all means. Today we are invited to meditate, to ponder with Mary and like Mary on the gospel of how and why the eternal God, who exists outside of all space and time, the eternal God would enter into time, into a human family. So a quick review is always helpful. You get a crash course in the Trinity right here. So we have the most holy Trinity, one God in three divine persons who live in relationship with each other, but one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is the one God who is without beginning or without end. Before there was anything at all in existence, there was God. He is existence. The one God who created everything out of nothing, every atom, every proton, electron, neutron, quark, all the things that we can see and the things we don't know yet. If they exist, there was a time that they did not. And our one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, brought them into existence out of sheer love. The Nicene Creed we will pray shortly lays this out beautifully. Now Jesus, who is Jesus then? Jesus is the incarnation, the taking on of flesh, human flesh, of the eternal second person of the most holy Trinity, God the Son, also called God the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we mean by that. And when he took on flesh in time, that's where we get the name Jesus. The second person was eternal, but when he became one of us, he became Jesus. Mary bore God incarnate, God in the flesh. Jesus did not bring down his own body magically from heaven, ready-made. Neither did he pass through Mary like water through a pipe. Instead, he received his human flesh from her. If you think about it perhaps in a more biological way, when Mary said yes to God's plan for her, at that moment, God, through the Holy Spirit, took one of her eggs and provided the other chromosomes to make 46 in the DNA, and then the egg divided in her womb like all of us, sanctifying us from the very moment of our existence. Through her flesh, God the Son shared our humanity. This is important. The child born of Mary is both fully human and fully divine. That's why she is mother, that's humanity, of God, divinity. And because of this, God is able to heal humanity from the inside, to heal us from our sins from within. And, as St. Paul says today, to elevate us to adopted sons and daughters, which, by the way, means real sons and daughters. Because through the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, he has taken glorified human flesh, still human flesh, glorified, and is now joined forever to God. Humanity is now forever, has an insight into the inner life of God. And that is amazing and wonderful that God would do that through no merit of ours, but because he loves us. So like Mary, we are also chosen, called, graced, and honored to be God-bearers, to carry within us the divine word, Jesus Christ our Lord, to receive the same word made flesh in Holy Communion. That is who we receive. When we say body, blood, soul, and divinity, we receive him just the same into us. And then we are called then to become like the humble shepherds we see in the gospel, who were the first witnesses to the incredible gift of the Word made flesh. Friends, on this first day of the new year, what a blessing that we have privilege to be able to gather. The church turns our attention then to the perfect model of discipleship, the Blessed Virgin Mary. In times like this, with so much constant change, we look for those things that do not change, that is God. We have been promised that even when things look bad in your life, they seem to be barreling out of control, or they seem to get worse and worse in the world, the gates of hell will not prevail. After the example of Mary, who pondered the mysteries of God in her heart, may we allow ourselves the quiet to be guided always and only by Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.